The follow-up to David Wrabovsky's beloved number one New York Times bestselling classic, The Story of Edgar Sawtelle, Familiaris is the stirring origin story of the Sawtelle family and the dogs that carry the Sawtelle name. It is spring 1919, and John Sawtelle's imagination has gotten him into trouble once again. Now John and his newlywed wife, Mary, along with their two best friends and their three dogs, are setting off for Wisconsin's North Woods, where they hope to make a fresh start and, with a little luck, discover what it takes to live a life of meaning and purpose and adventure. But the place they are headed for is far stranger and more perilous than they realize, and it will take all their ingenuity, along with a few new friends, human, animal, and otherworldly, to realize their dreams. The new book is Familiaris. It is an Oprah Book Club pick for the summer, and it's a great pleasure to welcome David Wrabovsky to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
At what point did you know, or did you always know, that you wanted to write more about this family?
Somewhere about halfway through the story of Edgar Sawtelle, this character of Edgar's grandfather kept trying to insert himself into Edgar's story, where he really had no business being. He was just really thought of as a backstory character and the source of several family legends. And I kept being tempted to put more and more of these legends or maybe apocryphal stories into Edgar's story. And I finally decided, when I finished Edgar, if he was still interesting, he would get his own book. And that's what happened. So by the time I'd finished Edgar, I'd accumulated quite a thorough impression of who he was as a person, although not necessarily what the arc of his life would look like.
So it seems like there were still questions that you had that you wanted to explore and answer.
Absolutely. I had, in the opening chapter of Edgar, I put in what was at the time, I thought, just a quick 4-page sort of history of the farm, the family, how they came to live, where that story plays out. And that actually turned out to be, and still is, the best summary of Familiaris that I've ever been able to write. It was basically my guide for this book. Although I looked at it once or twice when I first started, and didn't look at it again until I finished, and was shocked to find out that it actually matches up with what I wrote earlier. But I didn't know anything about the actual arc of his life, and that's what was very interesting to me. I just knew, for instance, he's introduced in the story of Edgar Sawtelle as having been born with an extra share of whimsy. Even though I wrote that, I didn't know quite what it meant. It suggested a lot of things to me. I didn't know quite what it meant. So that was one of the starting points for me. I wanted to find out what a person like that was like and how he'd behave.
So give me a sense of how you answer that question of what they're like and how they come to life and that transformation takes place in your mind.
Well, one of the things that the way the writing process works for me is it's very exploratory. So it took a while to sort of develop a very clear vision of John, although I had a pretty good idea of who he was. But what I didn't know was what the people around him were like. So even though I knew that he was a newlywed and his wife's name was Mary, I didn't know what she was like. She turned out to be incredibly interesting. And one of the things that makes their marriage and relationship so much fun in the book is that they complement each other well. And they both are interested in doing something or creating something beautiful. And at the beginning of the story, they don't know exactly what that means. But as it turned out, that initial impression that I had of him being born with an extra share of whimsy was sort of the capacity to question ordinary life and say, what, if my life was devoted to making something beautiful, what would that be? And he's willing to think very broadly about that.
Was there and I know with writers this is a difficult word to come to terms with, but was there an increased confidence or at least assuredness that you had in saying, okay, I took on this massive project of the first novel and I know these characters, or many of them, and now we're ready to go on the second one?
Well, I guess, like you say, it's a complex question, and it's multidimensional. There's no substitute for the actual on-the-page, sentence-by-sentence, paragraph-by-paragraph exploration that goes on to find out not just what the story is, but the right form that it should take on the page. What of the many episodes and details and conversations should stay in, and which ones will turn out to be a distraction from the experience that you want the reader to have. So I think that is no different from Edgar, and it probably will always be the same no matter how many novels I write. But there was a sense of knowing the place, because a lot of this story takes place on the same farm in the Northwoods of Wisconsin that Edgar took place on, just 40, well, I guess it would be 50 years earlier. And there's also a sense, this is my second novel, so there's a sense of sort of fluency with writing and familiarity with the difficulties of writing a novel, what to expect, how to think about trouble, process trouble when I ran into it.
When you think of a book, I mean, time has passed, obviously, since the first book came out, but it was received beautifully. And is there just a pressure in that, both for yourself and for the audience of readers?
You know, one of the things that I made sure to do, sort of fix in my mind before I started, was to say, I am not going to hold this book to having to sort of achieve the same notoriety that Edgar did. I think that would be a recipe to just lock up and get nothing written. So I worked hard at giving myself that permission and was fairly successful at it. And once I was into the writing of the story, a novel, if it's going to work, is generally kind of self-generating once you get it bootstrapped and going. So at that point, it has its own agenda in a way. It's telling you, it's giving you feedback as a writer and saying, this is working. I'm getting good at being this kind of a story, and I'm not going to be that kind of a story, and so on. And that drove the writing process far more than any comparison to Edgar.
When did you realize that the relationship between the humans and the dogs was going to be so important?
Well, I guess I knew that the title of the book was Familiaris, taken obviously from the Latin Canis Familiaris. I knew that was the title from the beginning. And Edgar is very much about that, the relationship between Edgar and his dog, Almandine. I wanted this book to be more expansive and sort of address in dramatic form our species-level relationship with dogs. And so it had to have a larger scope by definition. Basically, the writing of every scene, the question that was behind every scene was, how does this apply to our relationship with dogs as a species, as individuals, and so on? So it was sort of an ongoing inquiry into how to permeate the story with those ideas.
I'm just curious as to what it's like for 15 years of people coming up to you and asking you when the next book's coming out.
People ask me that a lot, but nowhere near as often as I ask myself, like, how long is this going to take me to do? Because it did take a long time, much longer than I expected. And, I had to learn some things about myself as a writer. And one of them is that I'm just slow. The reason why I'm slow is because my approach to writing is that I do a lot of exploration into alternatives. When I'm writing a scene, I'll write that scene over and over again, and sometimes many variants of it. And it's the way I am. I need to feel fairly confident that the version of the scene that I'm moving forward with is the best of all the versions that could exist. It took me longer, but I asked myself that question way more than other people asked.
So let me just flip it, because it seems in talking to writers as much as I do, of a great gift to be able to have the time and not a push or a burden, that you have the time to work through and create the story you want to create.
Yeah, you know, writers have two resources that readers don't necessarily have. One is time and one is space. And we can take time on sentences and paragraphs that we might take a day on a paragraph to get it right, that a reader will read in, 12 seconds. And as it should be. And we want, in a way, I think of a novel as sort of time condensed, boiled down. And space is the other thing that we have working for us is physical space. I mean, a reader gets a book all bound into a block. But for a writer, the book takes up a lot of horizontal space. You don't walk around with everything piled up like that. I use floor space. I have tables, little folding tables. There are times when I'm editing heavily where you almost can't walk through my office because there are so many tables set up.
Do you like that? Like, do you look at that and say, okay, this is cool?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah. My background is in, I have a degree in computer science,
right.
And I spent 27 years doing computer science research. And one of the things that you learn as a computer scientist, as a practicing programmer, is how to sort of hold very complex structures in your mind, and not just static structures, but structures that are in motion and doing things. I enjoyed exactly, there's an analog to that in the novel writing world. Obviously, it's not exactly the same, but it is analogous. And I very much enjoy thinking about and worrying over and fine-tuning the structure of a story so that it's as good as it can be.
Well, the name of the new novel is Familiaris. It is the follow-up to the story of Edgar Sawtelle by David Wroblewski, and it is published by Blackstone. David, thanks so much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you on the program. Congratulations on the new novel.
Thanks very much for having me. It was a great fun.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the new book is Familiaris. It is published by Blackstone. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.